Listening to the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's 11:34 here in the studio, and I'm joined today by a very special guest. Hello.
Hi.
Could you introduce yourself for us?
Hello, XX Files listeners and Amanda. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome.
My name is, my artist name is Jean Tellem. You can call me Jeanne. I'm a music producer, I'm a music listener, I'm part of La Rama Records, yeah, that's my life.
That's a huge resume. Thank you so much for being here. We're coming into a really special week here in Montreal. It's MuTech, which is a music festival mainly based electronic music and arts that's been going on for I don't know how many years now. I'd have to look it up. But I've been covering the festival for the last 6 years or so, and I'm super excited to have Jean here because she will be making her live debut.
Yes, I will, on Saturday.
Yeah. So at what time?
I play at 10.
Okay, perfect.
I open for the big night at Metropolis.
Amazing. How are you feeling about that?
I'm pretty nervous, but excited. It's the first time I perform live by myself, so I'm curious to see the reaction. I usually play music for my boyfriend, so and he's super excited about it, but it's always interesting to see in real life the reaction. Yeah,
I'm also super excited for your...
Will you be there?
Yes, yeah. I will definitely be there, of course. I've seen you DJ quite a few times. Okay. And you're an incredible DJ.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, your mixing skills are out of this world, literally. So I was wondering if you can just talk a little bit about your musical background. You come from a background of piano, jazz guitar, as well as electroacoustics. And how do you find that this defines your relationship with your kind of current tools and setup?
Well, I've always, in some type of way, played music at a very early age. My parents were always encouraging me to play an instrument. So at first it was piano, but it was kind of more of my sister's thing. She was very good at it, so I was looking for my own thing. So I gravitated towards the guitar. And that was the beginning of like my love story for that instrument. I played guitar for about 10 years.
Wow.
I studied jazz guitar at Cégep Saint-Laurent for about 2 years. And unfortunately, my dream kind of like stopped there. Well, my love story with the guitar stopped there. I think it wasn't like a good environment for me to perform that instrument. But life goes on, and I started gravitating towards electronic music, starting going to parties, starting dancing, and that was kind of like the next step of my musical journey. And a couple of years ago, I started studying at the conservatory in electroacoustics. Wow. And I spent 2 years there studying composing with incredible teachers. And I learned a lot about sound and music composition in general. And that was a super experience for me. Having somebody, well, a teacher, help me get out of my comfort zone, as well as exploring my own qualities, I'd say, and getting confident about those was very formative.
Amazing. And so what do you use in your setup now? Do you use hardware, or are you kind of Ableton-based when you produce?
I'm Ableton-based. Okay. I have my Juno 106 that nice. I really like, and that I will be bringing on Saturday.
Amazing.
So this is kind of like my main instrument, and I use a lot of VSTs. Going to school in electroacoustics, I had a few classes with exploring different types of VSTs, and I kind of fell in love with it. So all the possibilities of digital synthesis. And so I would say in the last year, I've been using a lot of VSTs, and I mostly use a VST called Omnisphere, which is mostly used, I think, for like filmmaking.
Amazing.
It's not really made for like electronic music or dance music. There's a lot of it's great to create textures and kind of mysterious environments. It's pretty interesting. So I use a lot of that in my songs, just to create strange sounds.
Could you explain really briefly for our listeners what a VST is?
It's a virtual synthesis, actually. So, analog synthesis is basically electricity. So, virtual synthesis is recreating that electricity, but on a computer.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Perfect synthesis. And what would you say your daily practice is in relation to music, whether it's producing, listening, both?
Like my schedule? Or
your schedule, if you want to talk about if you're working on music every day, if you're listening to music every day, both of those things, neither of them.
I try to keep a balance of everything, and that's the good thing with the record shop I work at, La Rama Records, is it's a good space if I want to get away from music production, because I still get active in my own field but doing something else. Sometimes I don't always have my mind for creativity. So on days like that, I use my energy to work towards something more practical, like pricing records. So yeah. But if I'm feeling creative, I'm going to use that type of energy that day towards composing.
Amazing.
And I try to organize my schedule around. I try to organize as much as possible my schedule around that.
Cool. Since you mentioned it, I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about La Rama and kind of its place in Montreal.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So La Rama was established by Chris Guilty. in 2016. At first, it was inside Death of Vinyl, an institution in Montreal. Yeah. It was so La Rama had a small locale inside Death of Vinyl. Death of Vinyl is mostly, well, is focused on used records. And Chris's space was for new records, so new music. So working there, starting the shop, what was great is we kind of started meeting a lot of people, or meeting a lot of people that we usually see at parties, but seeing them during the day. It creates it's funny, but it creates a whole new layer of relationships.
For sure.
You get to know more of the people who surround you, and but the thing is, with that shop at the time, it was very physically, it was very small. So it was very, very small. I don't know if you've been.
Yes, I had seen it. Yeah.
So it was very intimate, which is a good thing. But at the same time, I feel like some people were kind of afraid of coming in, because coming in meant having a one-on-one discussion with us, well, with Chris or with me, because it's kind of awkward having somebody in the space and not talking to them.
For sure.
So it's a good thing and a bad thing, because I think that some people who are more reserved were a bit shy of coming in. But we moved a year and a half ago, about, yeah, on Bernard. So we have a big space right now. And it's awesome, because now it creates a space where everybody has kind of like, can have their own pace, discover music, and be in their bubble, and interact with each other without necessarily interact with us, which is like totally fine. But I feel that it helps the community in a way.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit? Because I feel like it's definitely become kind of a cultural hub for both DJs and producers who are living and working in Montreal, and those visiting.
Well, it feels great for you to say that, because I like to think that in a certain way it helps, but to hear somebody else say it, it's like, oh, okay. We're going in the right direction. So as I was saying, having a space where people can come and drop off flyers, drop off tickets, it creates drop off their records also for music makers. It's very important in music to have every element talking to each other and being strong. So it's not only about parties. It's not only about going out. The DJ who's playing needs first to be to have a space to go listen to music and discover new music. The party organizers need a place to drop off tickets, drop off flyers, and the music makers composing at home need a space to get inspired and talk to other people about their projects. Yeah, just creating a nice, strong circle where everybody can help each other. I think that's the goal.
That's awesome. And what has it taught you kind of about the scene, or about the scene more globally, either about the artists or yourself as an artist?
What do you mean exactly?
Kind of like running a record store, being like really deeply involved in a community. Has it changed your approach to production, your artistic style?
Yes and no. Well, my way of producing is like very personal. And I always, I don't want to get influenced. I try not to get too much influenced by what's going on. I want to get influenced by what I see firsthand at parties.
Really?
I want to be influenced by my own experience and not necessarily by what other people do, if that makes sense.
Of course.
But of course, having conversations can be very eye-opening on different subjects, and sharing my experiences with music making, like basic production techniques, that's very helpful too. At the shop, I've met some engineers, and we talk about sound, not necessarily music, but sound, how it works, tools that can be helpful. So yeah, and in that matter, that helped me a lot. But even though I'm surrounded in like so much music every day, so much music, I try not to be too much influenced by the styles. Maybe how people technically achieve making music, but I don't want to get too influenced by the styles.
You definitely have a very unique sound that I think is
wholly
your own. Yeah. I also want to congratulate you on your label.
Thank you very much.
New records. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the label, why you chose to start your own label, the potential you see for the future, and kind of what sounds or, you know, what you'll be looking for.
So having a label was kind of always the goal. It was a natural, like I knew that was, I always knew that was, at some point I had to do it in my life. Even before putting out my first record on Sobo, I knew that at some point I wanted to achieve that myself. To create a label. And so working with Sobo, and which is a local label, and after that working with Wolf Music, and these guys are based in London, it kind of helped me, it helped me a lot actually, to have an idea of like the steps and how to make it happen in a good way. And the guys at Sobo are like extra. they're super people, and the process was in all the ways, it was super fun putting out that record. And after that with Wolf Music, it was a different relationship I had with these guys, because they were in London, so I talked with them via like email during a whole year without before meeting them.
Wow.
So it's kind of a different process, but yeah, the goal was always to create my own platform to put out my music for myself, but also like promote local talents and maybe international ones, but at first I want to keep it local.
Awesome.
And yeah, as I was saying earlier, all the steps are very important to create like our big community circle. And I think that having a label really helps in that way. Just to keep things in Montreal also, because we're always talking about Europe, the United States. Well, it's very different in the States, but
yeah.
There's so many things happening in Europe for a reason, because they have the structures for it. They have the record stores, they have the big labels, they have the big festivals. So that's why there's like there's like a constant buzz, but we need to start creating those things in Montreal too for us to like strive and have a healthy surrounding to make things happen, you know?
I totally
we're already are, but just to keep moving forward.
Do you find the community here quite insular, or do you think it has the potential to really expand?
Has the potential to expand. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. I want to talk a little bit more about your production and your production style. I feel like dancing appears to be an essential part of your practice as a DJ. And I wanted to kind of discuss the links between movement and production.
Yeah. Well, house techno music, it's social music. It's made to dance. It's physical music, actually. When you think about production for a good house or techno track, you're gonna think about how the bass sounds like in the club, how the kick sounds like in the club, how the pads are gonna settle in the club. Like you wanna create the good environment for the dancers. So of course, when I see people dance and how people react to a certain type of sound, to a certain type of melody, it's gonna help me afterwards for sure. Like start a new song or a new project, for sure.
Awesome. And how do you feel our bodies, I guess you've kind of just touched on this, that our bodies are implicated in sound?
Yeah. At some point when I write a song, at some point for sure I'm going to stand up and see, just feel how what I just wrote, how my body reacts to it. Like,
really?
Yeah. Wow. That's and amazing. I'm in my studio and I start dancing. And it's as if my body actually tells me if it's missing something.
Wow.
Or like, this part is getting a bit redundant. So I'm going to switch it up.
I mean, I might steal that from you.
Oh, you have to, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, your production, I've found... definitely has a very immersive quality. I don't know if I said that already. And I can hear all of the influences in it, the soul, the funk, house, and as I said, like a little bit of trance I hear on your newest release. I don't know if that's just me, but...
Which one? The Wolf Music? Or Bienvenue?
Bienvenue, yeah.
Oh. You're I'm like curious what track you're talking about.
I have it linked here. I can tell you. The Inner Groove PM.
The first one?
Oh, yeah. I think it's the only one you can listen to on Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We kind of already touched on your studio setup and your creative process, but I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit more about your live debut at MuTek.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. What do you have planned? Is it all flushed out? Are you still working on it?
I'm still working on it. but it's almost done. It's going to be okay.
Awesome.
I kind of created live versions of a lot of songs that I already put out. Live versions, meaning where I have space maybe to improvise a bit on stage. And there's also a few new tracks that I made live versions also. And I created some new sounds to fit the whole set.
Awesome. we're coming into the last minute of the show here. Ooh. I want to thank you so much again for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited about your performance. Can you tell us just one more time when it is? And
so it's Saturday night at MTELUS, and I'll be playing at 10 p.m.
Do not miss Jean Tellum Saturday night, 10 p.m. at MUTEC Montreal. And who are you going to see from MUTEC?
I want to see my friend Francis Latre, Priori. I want to see Dusty One. Yeah. I want to see Adam Basanta. who else? Who else? Oh, CMD. Yeah. Shout out to CMD. She shout has a radio show on CKUT.
She's amazing.
And I'm forgetting some right now. Oh, Gabrielle Reichold on Sunday.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, we'll catch you at MUTEC Montreal. This has been the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM. Right now we're listening to a mix by Jean Tellum on Foreheads a few months ago. So you can check that out on SoundCloud. Thanks for listening. Until next week. Bye.
Are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is If You've Got Ears. If You've Got Ears is CKUT's experimental, forward-thinking, avant-garde, and most importantly, creative music radio program every Wednesday at noon. The show has been on the air since 2003, presenting you with sounds that you will not hear anywhere else. And so we're asking listeners, of course, if you want to continue to hear this kind of music on the airwaves, to please donate. CQT's funding drive is currently underway. You can, of course, go to our website to make a donation, cqt.ca. You can mail us a check to 3647 University Street, in Montreal. You can also phone, and this show is pre-recorded, but there is someone manning the phones. Might even be me in the future. Future me. 514-448-4013. Today we are honored to have on the show two very beloved members of the creative music community in Montreal, Eliza Caution and James Goddard. We asked Eliza to program this 2 hours, and she insisted on having James on for a free-ranging conversation that touches on all things about both of their creative practices, as well as some of James' work as a curator and promoter of live music. So we'll get right into that. Halfway through the interview or the conversation, we'll play a selection from James's project Skin Tone, And the show will end up with a mix of some of Eliza's favorite Montreal music. It's an incredible mix, so I can't wait for you to hear it. Again, make a donation, cqt.ca, or give us a call, 514-448-4013. If you've got ears, you got to listen. Here's Eliza and James.
It's me, James, 90.3 FM, CKUT, broadcasting live from the from everywhere now, I guess.
Yeah. I'm broadcasting from Ganesadaga currently. I guess you're up in Jojaga right now currently.
Yep, in my basement apartment in the Mile End, holding on against the gentrification, I guess.
Right on. So I guess for those of you who don't know or maybe aren't familiar, James is a local musician, performer, promoter, I guess. Is that a bad word?
Yeah,
you put on shows.
I put on shows. Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Backwash actually, and she said something about like promoters being shady, and I'm like, oh yeah, well I guess I'm part of that, but I try not to be shady in my dealings. So, arts administrator, I guess, is often the term I go to. Artist and. It's like Hank Hill from the King of the Hill there, you know, like propane accessories. I'm like arts and arts adjacent accessories or whatever.
Right on. Cool. Well, yeah. So Alex gave me this opportunity to talk about some local artists and some people that I consider friends or people that I look up to. And immediately you came to mind because, I like to think of us as peers to a degree at this point.
For sure, yeah. I would hope that we consider each other peers.
Yeah.